Tomorrow is the anniversary of my father's death. When he died, my brother was 16, I was 12, my mother was 43. A Saturday night, like most others, we went to bed as usual. Probably we had a text, probably could have been written by Peggy Noonan. And the set design was Father Knows Best. Single family house, picket fence, suburbs of New York. And the church we went to was the scene of the movie Doubt, in which Philip Seymour Hoffman and Meryl Streep play the protagonists. It was 1950s Catholicism, the best that we had. God was in his heaven and Pius XII was his vicar. We planned to go to church the next day at 9 o'clock to the children's mass, but it turned out at midnight, my mom called my brother, and 4 hours later, my father was dead. Went to the 7:30 mass because we stayed up all night. And my mom became a widow. Her life for the next 44 years. And like any other widow, all she had was on-the-job training. My mom's journey in the faith started out in her family's German Lutheran church. So to say that she was frugal was redundant. She was a waitress for several years, and that was a good gig in those days because you didn't have to declare tips on your income. Clever. We lived very modestly. My parents paid their bills, and when my father died, every single day after that, I can recall going to the kitchen to breakfast, and she'd be sitting there with coffee, with columns of numbers, wondering could she pay the bills. And never told us of her fear and struggle. Like the widow in the first reading, she was skilled in hospitality and cooking. She could not give very much to the church collection. She wouldn't be among your time, talent, treasure awardees. But she cooked and took care of people homebound. And when she brought them, it was meals on wheels. When I brought them, it was meals on foot. But she gave what she had, and she did what she knew. We didn't have a lot. Now, if your mailbox is like mine these days, you're beginning to get the annual collection of Christmas catalogs, right? And if you're anything like me, you're also getting unintended emails from sources saying what I need to buy before Christmas based on my previous choices. Isn't that fun? Now, you're saying to yourself, here we go, it's the annual anti-commercialism sermon by Ebenezer Scrooge, right? Try to bear with me. I thought about that a lot this week, how to make this somehow invitational. So what did I do? I punted and decided to look at a Jesuit, you're welcome, and thought I'd say to myself, what would Pope Francis like Christmas to be in light of tonight's readings? I don't take any moral high ground here. It's about an invitation, how you and I might look at this holiday season. I'm trying to make sense out of this papacy. I'm watching trips and travels and gestures and talks. Turns out it was announced this week he's going to come to Mexico in the beginning of the new year. And if plans turn out, he's going to go to the border between Mexico and our country about immigration, the thing he said to Congress 6 weeks ago. But now words and deeds. And why does he do that? One reason is family. The integrity of family and keeping family together. Family. Here it comes. Thanksgiving. Christmas. Our nuclear families, our two-parent families, our one-parent families, our culturally diverse families, we call it tribal rights. Family. That's hard work. but to revere and reverence another, and to, having come from a poor widow's family, families are as irregular as they can be, but as important as they can be. Or the Pope about poverty and the throwaway culture, the dangers of consumerism in a culture that prizes the self over the common good. He tells us in the encyclical last June that 1/3 of the food we produce is thrown away, even when we live in a world in which 1 out of 5 children goes to bed hungry. Food? What about the children in this capital city? It might be the year that you and I give what we can so that others might eat and might eat and survive. Or it might be the year that we not only give things to people or money to people, but we give them one of the most precious things we have, time. In 1997, Mitch Albom wrote the book Tuesdays with Morrie, subtitled An Old Man, a Young Man, and Life's Greatest Lesson. Jack Lemmon starred in the 1999 film. And the summary of the film says this: Mitch became caught up with his career as a sport commentator and journalist, ignored his girlfriend, and did not make time to do things in life that are of the most value to a human being. Morrie was one of Mitch's professors in school and a famous scholar. And one day Mitch was watching television and saw Morrie giving an interview stating he is dying of Lou Gehrig's disease. So Mitch started weekly visits to his mentor. And one of the last meetings, this was the encounter between Mitch the student and Morrie the professor. Morrie says to Mitch, there's a big confusion in this country about what we want and what we need. You need food, but you might want a chocolate sundae. You have to be honest with yourself. You don't need the latest sports car. You don't need the biggest home. The truth is, you don't get satisfaction from those things. And then he said, you know what really gives you satisfaction? And Mitch said, what? Offering to others what you have to give. And I don't mean money. I mean your time. I mean your concern. I mean your storytelling. And then Morrie said, as a senior citizens center down the block, dozens of elderly people come there every day. They need your skills. But Mitch, they need your time. Then again, Mitch did make time every week for his mentor. How do we spend our time? With whom? For whom? And why? About things, the Quakers have a saying, do I like it? Do I need it? Can I live without it? Many daily choices, but none of us can live without love. None of us can live in isolation. None of us can live without conviviality. None of us can engage life fully without another. No one should ever feel abandoned or alone. And that might mean making demands upon our time so their time can be fulfilling. We do this in the Catholic Church. We do this together. We're in this together, in our relationships, in our families, with all their warts and all. The widows in tonight's readings gave all that they had, You may not have much money, but we all have time. How do we spend it? We come to a holiday season where we have opportunities to decide who's going to be at table or not. Or why are there empty seats at Thanksgiving? Sometimes relatives can be difficult. But sometimes those relatives need to be heard and listened to and understood because someone gave them time. In this day and age, sometimes time can be easier. All these machines we have, IMs, text messages, emails, makes it easier. And even a thing called FaceTime, you're welcome. And that might light up someone's day for whom days seem like endless. And our time can make their time work. We come tonight because Christ gave everything he had to give us life from this altar. We hear readings tonight about women who gave all that they had so others could live. What we do tonight is in memory of him and in memory of them.